For CertSecurity.com, I'm Rob Westervelt. You're listening to Security Wire Weekly for May 14th, 2008. Thanks for listening. In this edition, we'll talk about Microsoft's latest round of updates. Experts from Shavlik Technologies and Lumensen Security give their analysis. Microsoft issued critical patches for its Jet database engine and an update to its malware protection engine. Up next, an analysis of Microsoft's patch Tuesday, but first, this message.
When it comes to analyzing a network, protecting enterprise data, or fighting malware, you can plop down thousands of dollars for a commercial product, or you can get tons of great functionality from a free tool. Let CertSecurity.com show you how some of the industry's best free and open source tools work in our exclusive screencast series. Each month, one of CertSecurity.com's best experts will offer a step-by-step video presentation showing you how to use the most powerful tools and software, including Nessus, Snort, UTM, and so much more. And it's all free. Don't wait. Watch and learn today. Visit CertSecurity.com/screencast. That's CertSecurity.com/screencast.
And we're back. Microsoft issued several critical updates this week. It addressed two flaws in its Jet database engine. Microsoft plugged a hole within the database engine that was being actively exploited in the wild. And Microsoft also issued an update to its malware protection engine. That engine is used by Windows Defender, Windows Live OneCare, and Microsoft Antigen. Joining me to discuss the round of updates are two patching experts, Don Latham of patching vendor Lumensen Security. Don Latham is Lumensen's Director of Solutions and Strategy. Also giving his analysis is Jason Miller of Shavlik Technologies. Jason Miller is Shavlik's Security Data Team Manager.
Don, obviously the Microsoft Jet database engine appears to be one of the more critical of the updates.
Yeah, definitely MS-08028 is the one that we need to be looking at, but I kind of see it as a combo plate, because if you look at it, it appears that Word is the delivery mechanism for the actual exploit. So the exploit or the vulnerability is inside of, you know, a .mdb file that is embedded inside a Word file. So you kind of need to deploy both 2006 and 2000, or excuse me, you need to deploy 026 and 028 to make sure that you've completely addressed the vulnerability and any of the exploits that were already out in the wild on this one. So Microsoft's making it very clear on both of these that just by doing 028 may not close all of the attack surfaces. So definitely want to get 026 and 028 out together.
Jason, the Jet database engine, it was publicly exploited in the wild?
That's correct, yep. I've heard reports of this being publicly in the wild. The other one's not necessarily Microsoft's disclosing it, you know, they're not in the wild, but pretty much everybody knows about this Jet one, so it's very important that this one is out. It's probably the most critical out of the four. All four of these are going to be critical, but when you're going through this, because it's in the wild, it becomes the most critical to get that patched as soon as possible. Now, it's interesting, if you read into this one, Microsoft talks about this actually being related to the Word vulnerability as well, as they could be used together on this to exploit this. The scary part with that, with those two being together, is that of how an evil person can actually use this to their advantage. You're talking about this could be exploited by sending a Word file over to a user that has a specially crafted Microsoft database embedded inside of it that would make call commands to the Jet engine. It's basically a read into a database. A read is the most common basic thing you can do to a database.
Don, it's been quite a while since we've seen Microsoft release an out-of-band update. In this case, they hinted that it was a possibility, seeing that there were some attacks in the wild, but they didn't do that.
Yeah, I think, you know, out-of-band patches always cause an issue because, the whole reason Microsoft came up with Super Patch Tuesday was that administrators needed to plan. They needed to, in order to implement, you know, best practices, procedures for doing patch management, they needed to be able to plan, have resources available, make sure that certain business processes were in a state where they could be interrupted if necessary. Another aspect of this is that the modus operandi of hackers to a certain degree is changing from being, you know, praise motivated to being profit motivated. And as they've become profit motivated, it has not been in their best interest to do widespread, self-replicating, very noticeable malware. Instead, the trend is towards stealthware. Stealthy malware. And so when you look at this, there will be it'll be more difficult for Microsoft to know about exploits in the wild. And the other part of this is that there will be fewer people who know that they're being affected when something is in the wild. In the past, you know, when something was in the wild, it tended to spread like crazy. Now we may go months, quarters, possibly with exploits in the wild that may not become, known or detected because of this new approach towards profitability that the hacker community is taking.
And Microsoft has issued a workaround for those who need to do some testing first,
that,
right?
That workaround is very interesting, by the way. Because this is a JET database, their workaround, they basically said, hey, run this command on this system. That's the workaround. You won't have to worry about it. If you read into the fine print of this thing, and I was troubleshooting with somebody over this, is that they were having issues on their server. Their workaround basically said, you know what? Disable all read calls to this database. What's the number one thing you do with the database? Read calls. You can't even read what's in it. So if you have any program, so if you did the workaround, and this individual I talked to and the program he was using, couldn't use the program by doing the workaround. So.
Okay. Don, now the other two updates, 027 and 029, 027 is a critical one for Microsoft Publisher, and
right.
029 is labeled moderate for Microsoft Malware Protection Engine. But you seem to think that the Microsoft Malware Protection Engine is a little bit more of an issue for administrators.
Yeah, you know, the way I look at this is that if there's an organization that's depending very heavily on the Microsoft set of, security software, Defender, Forefront, you know, that suite of protection tools that all commonly use the Microsoft Malware Protection Engine, there is the possibility. It's pretty disruptive. The second that Defender runs, and it hits, it's going through scanning for spyware, and it hits one of these malformed files, it will, hang the machine, it will cause the machine to reboot, and if you've got it set up to where it scans again when it comes up, you could get, some fairly serious interruptions in business productivity, and the only thing you'd have to do is widely distribute, an attachment that Defender would look at and find this, the sequence of code in it that would cause, your spyware scanner to be constantly rebooting your machine. And if that was widely spread throughout an organization, that could be a fairly serious impact for that organization. So, if people are, heavily using these products that depend on this Microsoft Malware Protection Engine, this one should be taken very seriously.
Jason?
I'd like to challenge them putting a moderate on this. I see them putting moderate on Vista all the time, too, but I'm not Microsoft, but I see this as critical. This is a security product. A security product is supposed to defend you against these things. Now, if you get into the details of this thing fixes two flaws. The first flaw is going to cause the malware protection engine to stop responding altogether. There goes your defense. It's down. Now, it'll automatically restart it and come back up because it's a service, but you have a time window right there that you're down, right? The other part of it is that you can actually, they're calling it denial of service because you can fill up the hard drive. Basically, your hard drive is going to get filled up. That's a pretty interesting way to say denial of service because your system's going to become unresponsive or just stop responding altogether because you filled up your hard drive. So,
right.
And you get into some of the products now, I mean, a lot of it's going to be around, Windows Defender, Windows One Live Care. but oh, what about AntiGen? AntiGen runs for an Exchange server, right? That's a critical application server at that point, so it could cause some issues on that. We're not talking a desktop at that point.
Don, what's the issue with 027? They're just adding the Office Document Open confirmation tool to Microsoft Publisher 2000. Is that all they're doing?
As far as I could tell, that's the major part of it. But I think that they're also looking at how they... the main issue is that they're not pre-analyzing the data that's coming, that they're looking at inside of a file before they hand it off to their parser. And so I think from what I read, it sounded like to me that they were also going to do some sort of data validation before they handed it off to their actual parsing engine.
Jason, is there any reason why these updates would be difficult for an administrator to deploy?
026, 027, 028 should be pretty straightforward. We see word patches quite often. This shouldn't be too difficult. Now, this would be on most typical systems. Where it could get interesting is on JET databases. If you're running an application or an application server, something that's using this JET database, they are making changes inside of their files that control JET. So it is potentially possible that you could break one of your internal applications by applying this patch. So administrators, I mean, usually they should be testing these patches out first in a test environment and then turning around when they verify that it works. So you need to be a little careful when you're playing with this one, but, you know, you're going to have to weigh your risk at that point. Do I really want to be exploited, or do I really want to troubleshoot and get around this and figure out how to do it? I mean, that's a typical scenario, but, you know, it's a scenario that can always happen.
And that does it for this edition of Security Wire Weekly. Be sure to check out our previous podcasts by going to our podcast homepage at searchsecurity.com/podcast. You can always get the latest security news and information at our news page at searchsecurity.com/news. For now, I'm Rob Westerveld. Have a great day.